I did something this year I've never done before. I'm not sure quite how I feel about it yet, but ordered some gifts online. Now, for some of you who know me very well, you know that that seems virtually impossible that I could do that. Actually, I had help, I will say that. I'm not sure exactly. I hadn't quite figured out how I feel about it. It was easy and nice to have it delivered, you know, and all that kind of stuff, but just different. I received a cute story this week from a friend of mine who sent to me, and he's a little boy had gone to the mall, and Santa Claus was there, and he was all excited, and went up and sat on Santa Claus's knee, and as soon as he sat down on Santa Claus's knee, Santa Claus said, "Young man, what do you want for Christmas this year?" And immediately, he just looked really distressed, and in fact, not only distressed, he looked angry, and he said, "Santa Claus, you didn't get my email this year?" Christmas has changed through the years, has it not? We now send emails to Santa Claus. I love the passage of Scripture that I've chosen to use this morning, a very familiar passage from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. I invite you to follow along in your Bibles or with the words on the screen. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, and that her sin has been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.' Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this His holy word. Let us pray. O God, my Heavenly Father, use the words that I have today and make them your own. Bless this time together. May we reflect upon the joy of Christmas. And may we remember the difference that Christ, child, has made in our lives. Amen. I stood one day at the site that we believe is a site where Jesus was born, in Bethlehem. It didn't look anything like I expected it. There was a church built over, a cathedral built over it, and it just looked vastly different. I had visions in my mind of a stall, a simple little stable. In fact, what I had a vision of was the barn that was in my grandparents' backyard, a small barn, and that's what I expected. It didn't look like that at all. But that was okay, because I was convinced I was standing on holy ground that day. And I could remember in my mind's eye, I could see that stable so many years ago, dusty and cold and not a place at all that you would expect the child of God to be born. But that indeed was where he was born. Mary and Joseph had left on that long journey from Nazareth to make their way to Bethlehem, and now their journey, at least to Bethlehem, was complete. The real journey was yet to begin as Christ grew up and became a man and changed the whole course of history and changed our lives as well. But I believe this was all part of God's greater plan, that he'd be born in humility. Because he lived his life in humility, did he not? His whole life was devoted to serving other people, to making their lives better and richer and fuller, and to healing and making whole all those that he encountered in his life. Now, I could have chosen one of the birth narratives from the New Testament for my text today, and they're beautiful and very meaningful. I'm glad we read it as at least a part of our service today, but for some reason, I felt led to read this passage from Isaiah. Because I believe that Isaiah had this vision of what this baby Jesus was going to be able to do when he came into the world, the difference he would make in the world into which he was born. And you know, the world that Jesus was born into was really not any different than the world we live in today. Very much like our world. There were wars, there was poverty, there was racism, there was inhumanity, There was cultural isolation. There was disease. There was famine. There was elitism. People were divided in their beliefs and their stubborn refusal to accept any other views other than their own. It was very much the same as it is today. And you might wonder, well, why have things not changed so much? Well, I have a theory, and maybe it's because so many have yet to receive the gift of grace that Jesus brought into the world. If we had received that grace, we would all be devoted. We would all be dedicated to making this a sweeter and kinder and more peaceful world for others. But Jesus is the model that we all are to follow. He is the model that we live our lives by every single day. Let's look at these words from Isaiah again and rediscover what Jesus has done for the world and does for us every single day. First, we're told that He prepares the way of the Lord in the desert and makes straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Now, at first glance, we may not understand that. We may not get that, what that means for us. But think about it. How many times in our lives have we found ourselves wandering aimlessly through life? It feels a little bit like a wilderness sometimes, doesn't it? Every tree looks like the one before. Every bush looks like the bush we just passed. And before we know it, we're going around in circles, and we are having a hard time finding our way out of this wilderness. For some of us, we develop bad habits that are hard to break. For some of us, we're consumed by addictions, or we harbor anger, or we harbor resentment, or perhaps we just simply feel out of step with life. Whatever it is, we know that feeling of being in the wilderness. And when Isaiah says the child of God can make straight for us a highway in the wilderness, He may just be talking to those of us who understand how it feels to be lost in the wilderness. This Christmas, let's remember that Jesus makes straight for us a path, makes straight for us a highway of our Lord. And then Jesus said, and then Isaiah said of Jesus, that every valley will be brought up and every mountain will be brought low. And when we hear that, it reminds us of what the psalmist says when he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I can't explain to you why life is filled with valleys, but I can tell you that there are valleys throughout life no matter what. We can't avoid them. Dan made reference to this last Sunday, and I deeply appreciated this. But on Wednesday morning, December the 7th, I received a phone call from my son, whose name is Jay. And Jay said, Lane, his 5-year-old daughter, was having severe headaches and nausea. And they took her to a pediatrician. And I thank God for this every day. In fact, I wrote their pediatrician a letter. I've never met him, but I wrote him a letter because he realized immediately there was something seriously wrong. He sent her for an MRI and even went there with them, to be there with them, and made sure they read the MRI right away, which confirmed that she had a brain tumor. And that same day, on Wednesday, December the 7th, they sent her to Eggleston Hospital in Atlanta. The next morning, a team of neurosurgeons came in to be with her and with Jay and with Joy's wife, and said at 1 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to take Lane in for surgery. You can imagine what a valley that was for our family. What an anxious time that was, not knowing what to expect. And so they went through a 6-hour operation. We anxiously awaited the results of that. And during the surgery, they came back and they said, we think it's benign, but we're not sure. We won't be sure for several days. Well, I have very good news, and that is it was benign. They got all of the tumor out. And in 6 days from the time of her operation, I have a picture of her standing out in front of Eggleston Hospital with her 2 fingers up like this. I don't know why she had 2 fingers up. But leaving the hospital to go home. And this morning, when I came to church a little bit early, I went in and I opened up my emails, and there was a video of Lane standing in front of the Christmas tree telling a Christmas joke. Now that is the greatest Christmas present maybe I've ever gotten in my life. Now while I was there, I saw many other children not as fortunate as our family. I saw many anxious parents. I saw children undergoing chemotherapy and so many very difficult procedures. I don't have an explanation for you why some have that news and why we were blessed with the news we have, because we were praying for all these kids. But all I know is that we go through valleys. All of us go through valleys. It may be financial. It may be family oriented. It may be loss of a job. Whatever it is, we know about these valleys, don't we? But the wonderful news is that we're never alone. That God travels with us through those valleys and comforts us and raises those valleys up and blesses us in ways we simply do not understand. And sometimes we feel like we're facing a mountain in front of us. And we wonder, how in the world will I ever get over that mountain? Or a giant. And we just think there's no way we can defeat the giant. We know how young David in the Old Testament felt, do we not? When he went out and encountered the giant Goliath. And David only had a slingshot. We know that feeling, don't we? We've been in that situation when we face the giants of life. We know about that. Sometimes our problems, sometimes our worries, sometimes our stress can simply overwhelm us. And it feels like a mountain in front of us. And we wonder if we can ever get over it or ever get around it. And we are overwhelmed by it. One of my favorite preachers is Dr. Fred Craddock. And one reason I love Dr. Craddock's preaching so much is because he's a master storyteller. I love his stories. I have books of his stories, and I have used so many of them in my sermons. But one great story that he tells is about a preacher friend of his who was born with no arms. And when he was a little boy, as you can imagine, his mom had to do everything for him. Had to dress him, had to feed him, had to literally take care of everything for him. And one day, he had grown up into a large young boy, and one day his mom came into the room and took his clothes and put them in the middle of the floor and said, beginning today, you're going to start dressing yourself. And he immediately cried out, but Mom, I can't. I have no arms. There's no way I can dress myself. What do you mean? And he was angry and crying and upset. And she said, no, beginning today, you're going to start dressing yourself. And she walked out of the door. And he started kicking. And he started screaming. He said, Mom, you don't love me anymore. Why would you do this to me? This is terrible. And for the next several hours, in this painstaking way, he managed to put on just enough clothes that he could walk out of the room, not knowing that his mom was just outside the door crying her eyes out. And Fred Craddock said, sometimes we think God seems distant, like that mother seemed to her son. But in reality, God's crying his eyes out for us. He's there for us in those difficult times in our lives. And he takes us and enwraps us in our arms. And sometimes life can be difficult like it was for that young boy. But God always, always loves us and always provides for our deepest needs. Then Isaiah says, this Messiah, this Son of God, can make the rough places smooth and the rugged places a plain. Those are just magnificent words. Many years ago, I heard the story of a young man who was traveling to a place called Smithville. And he was walking. Now, little did I know that some years later, I would be living near a place called Smithville, when I worked for Habitat for Humanity International. So there actually is a place called Smithville, Georgia. But anyway, this was a fictitious story, and he was making his way to Smithville, and he comes to this fork in the road, and he looks to the right where the sign is pointing to Smithville, and it's rough and rugged, and it's winding and treacherous looking, and he looks to the left, and the road is smooth and straight. He looks to the right again, and the road is rough and rugged and treacherous. And he looks to the left, And it's smooth and straight, so he has a great idea. He takes the sign and he turns it around so that it points to Smithfield to the left. And so he starts walking to the left, and he walked, and he walked, and he walked. But did he ever get to Smithfield? No. He was going in the wrong direction. Life for us can seem like a rough place. It really can. But the wonderful news is this Christ child can take those rough places and smooth them out and make them easier for us. Sometimes we feel lost and we feel alone, but he's there, always there, walking beside us. When I was a little boy, I got angry with my mom about something. I don't know what it was. It doesn't matter. It was probably completely meaningless. But whatever it is, I got angry with my mom, and I decided I was going to run away from home. So I went in, I got some clothes out of my drawer and put them in a paper bag and wrapped up the paper bag and put it under my arm. And I left home. Little did I know that my mom was standing there looking out the kitchen window, watching every step that I took. Well, we lived in a small town. Everybody knew me, and I knew everybody. And I started walking around the block. And I walked around and around and around the block. And finally, this neighbor lady came out and said, "Troy, what in the world are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I've run away from home, and my mom told me I cannot cross the street by myself." We know how that feels, don't we? Sometimes we're just going around and around and around. I've got good news for you this morning. I've got really good news for you. Isaiah said this baby Jesus, this Messiah, this Son of God, can take away those mountains, can raise the valleys, can make the rough places smooth, can build a straight highway in the wilderness, can do all these things for us so that our lives are meaningful and purposeful, so that we can know joy and peace that literally passes all understanding, regardless of what circumstances we face in our life. Another hero of mine in the ministry is named Dr. Frederick Wilson. Many of you have heard me call his name. For many years, a pastor in the South Georgia Conference, I will go so far as to say he's the kindest, sweetest, spirited person I've ever met in my life. He had an amazing gift. His gift was to make you feel like what you were saying to him was the most important thing he had ever heard in his life. I remember when I was in seminary and knew nothing, literally nothing about being a preacher. But when I would talk to Frederick Wilson, he made it seem like everything I said was important. Every word I uttered was important to him. But not only that, he was the most dynamic preacher I've ever heard. I remember hearing one day that Frederick Wilson had terminal cancer, was not expected to live very long at all. And I know, objectively, I know that we all die someday, that we all come to the end of this earthly life. But, you know, that's not supposed to happen to people like Dr. Frederick Wilson. He's bigger than life. He's supposed to be there, always be there. But I'd heard he had terminal cancer, and it just made me so sad. I was overwhelmed by sadness. And I remember the first time that I saw him after I learned that he had cancer. He was frail. He just looked really, really bad. And I felt so sorry for him, I didn't know what to say. And Dr. Wilson said to me, he said, "Troy, you know it's really okay. God's been with me throughout this whole life, on every journey I've been on. He's never been anywhere except right here by my side, and that's where he's going to be during this time in my life. It's really okay. Life is good. God is good." And Dr. Frederick Wilson preached right up till nearly the time of his death. But let me tell you something even more important than that. While Dr. Wilson was dying, literally dying, every day he wrote a card or he wrote a note of encouragement to people who had touched his life. And the most precious possession I have is a card that I got from Dr. Frederick Wilson when he was dying. And if he was here today, he would say to you, I understand about the rough places. I know there are mountains in our lives that are bigger than us. I know that we get off the path and it seems like life is like wandering through a wilderness. And let me tell you something, he'd say. God is always with us. And that's the promise we have at Christmas. That he came into the world into the body of his Son, Jesus Christ. So that when we face those things in life that we all face, that we're never alone. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't just change the course of history. He changes our lives one by one. He changes each one of us one by one. Let me close by reading these words once again from the prophet Isaiah. But I want you to put in your treasure chest of memories and remember what Jesus does for you. Isaiah says, comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sins have been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. My dear friends, understand that that message is for us all. It's for us all. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the difference that Jesus Christ makes in our lives. When we face those crooked places, those low valleys and tall mountains, when we face those rough places in our life, we are so grateful that you, in the form of your Son, Jesus, go with us every step of the way to help us, to comfort us, and to give us peace. We thank you, O God, for Christmas. Amen.